Set Free Ministry team and its international ministry partners welcomes you to another edition of The Journey. Whether working in some little jungle village in South Asia or the mean city streets in South America, the Set Free team faithfully brings the message of Jesus to those in need, building churches, training pastors, working with international leaders, and securing our religious freedoms. Set Free touches others for Jesus. Whether using old-fashioned evangelistic crusades or even the newer mediums of television and the internet, we bring the message of the kingdom of heaven to those around us. And now our hosts, Dr. Dale and Terry Climie.
So this guy was wrestling this great big vacuum tube into place, and one slip and the vacuum tube would fall and shatter, or even worse, it would fall on somebody and do some serious damage there. And so Bob asked him, how do you install this vacuum tube? And the guy said, very carefully. And in the same way, as we're talking about Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33, how do we study this passage of Scripture? And it's very carefully. Because a lot of churches have taken this passage of Scripture and they've used it to try to force almost a state of slavery especially on women in the marriage relationship. And it's important for us as we begin at verse 22 to remember what verse 21 was from last week. And last week Paul said, be ye subject one to another. And we learned that word subject means to voluntarily put others first, to take ourselves off the throne and put everybody else first. And then Paul continues here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22 using the same word, and wives, be subject to your own husbands as unto the Lord. And some people have taken this to mean that the wife is there to cater to every whim that their husband may have. But that's not what Paul is talking about here. We're putting the emphasis on the wrong place. They're saying, wives, be subject to your own husbands as unto the Lord. And keep in mind what was going on was in the early church, the women sat on one side, the men sat on the other side. And as the pastor would be speaking, there may be some things that might not be understood by everybody. And so the ladies would call across the aisle to their husbands and say, hey, what does he mean when he says this? And Paul responds to that dynamic and it says, women, you need to keep silent in the church. That's not saying that women don't have a place in the church. It says, basically, hold your questions till later. Okay? But of course, we men have taken that to try to subject women to a substandard place in the Christian economy. And in the same way, wives, be subject to your own husbands as unto the Lord. And I take this to mean that God has put a husband and a wife together to grow together in the Lord. And there may be some questions that maybe the husband doesn't have the answer to. And I believe, and this is what Terry and I do in our ministry, that if we're ministering to somebody and the wife has a question and they come to us, we want to teach the husband so that the husband can be the spiritual priest of the house so that he has the answer. Because sometimes it's very easy for the ladies to look up and there's that pastor. He has the answer to everything. And boy, he is so much smarter than this old lump of a husband that I have. And it begins to eat away at the relationship that God meant the husband and the wife to have. And so here I don't see anything about the wife being in a subservient role to her husband. What Paul is saying here is that the wife and the husband grow together. If there's a question there, let the husband go to the pastor and find out. And so they together, as husband and wife, grow to the Lord, grow together in the Lord. And so everything here, remember the Bible says that there's no difference in God's eyes between man and woman. That as far as their intrinsic value, everybody has the same value in God's eyes. And we have seen in so many parts of the world where the religion in that world, whether it be Islam or whether it be Hinduism, and unfortunately even in some places where they've taken Christianity and they have tried to place women as almost a subhuman role. In the family. They're just there to cook the meals and to have the babies. That's all they're there for. But God's Word does not bear that out. Ladies are just as important in the family. And if a husband were to be ever so painfully honest, he would have to admit that, ladies, you play an even more important role in the family than we do. And verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. And again, people say, oh, there it is. There you go. See, here's the husband, and then the wife has some, you know, place in the family down there. And all Paul is saying here is that there's somebody who has to make the final decision. Amen. What happens in business if you have two business partners that each have a 50-50 share in the business? Soon that business will go out of business. Because ultimately, somebody's got to be able to make a decision. All right? And so that's one of the things that they teach us in business school, is you don't ever set anything up so that it's 50-50. At the very worst, you have 51-49. Somebody's got to be able to make a decision. And that is something that is difficult for guys to understand, that God has put you ladies in our lives as a custom-made helper. You know, when the Bible says that God has made the woman a help meet for Adam, unfortunately people take that and say a helpmate for Adam, and so Eve is just now delegated to being somebody who sweeps out the hut and fixes the food and raises the kid. But the Word of God indicates that the man is not complete without the woman. Amen? And I think all of us guys here today, if we wanted to be painfully honest, we would have to acknowledge that we're not complete without the woman. That we need to understand that God has put you ladies in our lives to help us see things that maybe we're blinded to. This is not to say that what the woman has to say is not important. And if the man has any wisdom or intelligence at all, he is definitely going to take things that his wife brings him under sincere consideration. Guys, how many of you realize that women see life differently than we do? That's right. Amen. Every guy raises his hand. Ladies, how many of you realize that men see things differently than you do? Okay. All right, and you know, the story has been told that if we let the women run the world, as soon as there was some kind of a disagreement between countries, they would just get together and say, you know, what we need is just a big old potluck dinner. Let's get together and have something good to eat, and we'll work this out. Unfortunately, us guys understand that if you have a potluck dinner, somebody's going to start arguing who makes the best cherry pie or the best cobbler or whatever. And so we may have found out the cure for the original problem, but now we have another problem to deal with. And so Paul is saying that authority and blessing actually flows in a line. And just as he says in verse 24, but just as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be in their husbands in everything. Now, let me ask you, is the church subject to Christ?
Yes.
Technically. In reality, how subject to Christ is the church?
Totally.
Oh, okay. You think so? I would hope it would be. It depends on the church. That's right. Some people have decided, we're going to have church. This is the way we're going to have church. We don't care what the Bible says. We don't care, you know, this is how we're going to have church. And so Paul is making a statement here under the best of conditions. This is how it should work. Unfortunately, so many times, this isn't how it does work. Verse 26, so that he may sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Verse 27, that he might present to himself the church in all of her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. And so we see here how Christ wants to relate to the church. Christ wants to build the body of Christ, the church, into something that is so beautiful, and she has absolutely no needs, no distractions, no detractions, no problems, that as the church has submitted to Jesus Christ, He is able to meet all the needs and bring that beautiful bride exactly to that place of maturity that He desires her to be, and we as the church wish that we could be. Unfortunately, the only thing that stops that from happening is we, the church. Because we want to do things our way. But if you look at what Paul is saying, he says, in the same way, the husbands need to be doing the same thing for the wives. I don't see barefoot and pregnant anywhere in there. Do you? I don't see a subservient role in there. As a matter of fact, we know that the Bible says that the church is the body of Christ on this earth. We represent Christ on this earth. When Christ wants to do something, He does it through His church. This is nothing like we see some denominations totally subject women to a place of where there is nothing that they can do. It's the husband that does it all. If you look at what Paul is saying here, the wife should be able to step out, and she has all the assurance and all the authority and all of the support of her husband to do everything that she wants to do. Amen? That's what Christ is trying to do to us, the church. He's told us what His goals are for us. He's given us the Holy Spirit of God to empower us to attain those goals. It's only us that keep ourselves from walking in that fullness that Christ wants His bride to walk in. In the same way, it's the relationship between husbands and wives and men and women. It's a misunderstanding of what the Word of God says that keeps the women from being able to get out there and do all that they want to do. And in the Word of God, I see that wives are supposed to be encouraged by their husbands to go out. And if they want to have a job, get out there and do the very best that you can. If you want to homeschool your kids, you get out there and do the very best that you can. If you want what you want to do to develop yourself as a person, I see the Word of God encouraging husbands to equip and encourage their wives to do that. Not to hold them down. And yet that's what we see in so many of our fundamental churches today. In verse 28, so husbands, ought also to love their own wives. You notice how Paul is putting own in here? Wives, you submit to your own husbands, not the pastor's wife's husband. Okay? You submit yourself to your own husband. So husbands ought to love your own wives as their own bodies. Amen? Now, except in extreme cases where there's probably some psychological problem, how many times have you seen a man go around punching himself in the face? How many times have you seen a man going around cutting on himself or starving himself? Or even though he might have all the money that he needs in the bank, he chooses to wear ratty old clothes and the shoes are falling off of his feet. You don't see that very often, do you? Usually, if there's a need, guys are known to go out and meet that need. I need to have this new rifle. Okay? I need to have this new car. I need to have these new hunting clothes. I need to have that. And Paul says, guys, you should be thinking of your wives the same way. Everything that they need, you should be turning the world upside down, trying to meet that need. And I realize that everybody has had good fathers and good father figures growing up. I just have to say that, you know, I had the best father in the world, and here was somebody who was working three jobs so that his wife and his kids could have the things that they wanted. My dad very easily could have said, look it, I'm working 8 hours a day or 10 hours a day over here at Lippincott Automotive. This is the money that I make, but you're going to have to learn to live on it. But my dad said, no, there are needs that my family has, and he went out and got his real estate license, and he, you know, sold homes. Wasn't real successful at it, but sold a couple homes. And on weekends, he pumped gas down at the gas station. Made a few bucks that way. He did everything that he could so his family could succeed. And that's what I see, what was going on. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. Amen? That is the challenge that Paul gives the men. You do whatever has to be done to supply what your wife and what your family needs. And then verse 29, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just like Christ also does the church. Goes right back to Christ's relationship to the church. I have a question for you. Why do you think that the family is under attack today? People don't sit around and eat dinner at the dinner table anymore. Everybody's got their own thing to do after school and after, you know, we eat around the TV set, or maybe we just eat whenever we have a chance to eat. Dinner's on the stove, serve yourself. And we see that the world seems to be tearing apart at the very fabric of our society, which is the family. And the reason is that God has chosen, when He wants to reveal what His relationship is to the believers, He uses the family. When He reveals His relationship to the church, He uses a husband and a wife. That's the relationship, and it's the only relationship that you see Him use in all of Scripture. That's the relationship that He chooses to use. And I believe that's why the devil has been so furiously busy at tearing apart the families. Because if you don't have a good family relationship, how are you going to understand the relationship that God wants to have with you? Amen? Amen. And verse 32, this mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you is to love his own wife even as himself. So Paul is going ahead and winding all of this up. He says this is a great mystery, especially when it's referring to the church. But he leaves the husbands with, you love yourself? Of course you do. You're meeting all of your needs. You need to be meeting the needs of your wife also. And the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. I have boiled down, I haven't done this, actually others much smarter and wiser have done this. Men and women need two things. Each of them need one thing to be happy and to be fulfilled in this life. Women need to know that they are cherished. Amen? Okay, and that's not meant to sound trite. That's the way that God has meant women to be, to know that somebody cherishes them, that their happiness, that their goals, their desires are utmost in somebody's heart. Amen? And for the ladies that don't have husbands here, the Bible says that now God the Father has become your husband. Okay? Pretty good deal. All right? And men need one thing, and that is to be respected. Men need to be respected. I have found, as I have dealt with men and women going through the most difficult times in their lives, as long as the wife is respecting the husband and the husband's letting his wife know how much he cherishes her, they can weather any storm. Any storm. And so that's what we... And God recognized this 2,000 years ago, even longer ago. But don't let anybody tell you, ladies, that you have a secondary place. You're a step above an illegal alien. No, you're not. That is the place that God has given you in the family is as a cherished, almost Paul uses like a fine porcelain vase that you set up there on the shelf and you look at that and you cherish it. That's so important. You take care of it. You protect it because this has so much value and it is so cherished. That is the place that God has put each of us. Now, does that mean that, ladies, that's all you got to do is sit around looking pretty? No? Because here we've also seen where Paul says you have a vital role. There's lots of things that you can be doing. Don't let your desires to excel at something be quenched by somebody who doesn't understand that it is the husband's responsibility to support you in your desires, whether you want to take up art or whether you want to be involved in ministry. Whatever it is that your heart's desire, just as Christ says, that's my desire to bring the church into the fullness of everything that the church is meant to be, that's the husband's responsibility for the wife. To work with her, to bring her into that place where she is fulfilled in every area that she needs. Amen? Amen. So, Bob, I hope that I've handled the situation with great care. I hope that I haven't dropped anything and hurt anybody's feelings. This is a passage of Scripture. To be honest with you, when I got to this passage of Scripture, I said, let's move on to chapter 6. Except that I want all of you to understand what God's true desire is for the husband and the wife relationship in the church. Amen? So bother God.
Time doesn't wait, it doesn't stay. You have a choice you must make. How will you face it all? Life just winds like a mountain road. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. Good or bad, nobody knows. Will you choose to stand or fall? Just when you choose to take it on, the waves stop and the sea goes calm. Lie down to rest your mind. Here comes the rain. Yeah, welcome to the journey.